You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 8th of June 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got some good news to get into later today, but first off we have a rather interesting article about a new movie that has come out that has sparked protests. And this reminds me of when Monty Python's The Life of Brian came out. And the movie itself wasn't talking about Christ himself, but it was mocking events that took place around the time of Christ. And lots of Christians protested the movie, and the movie ended up being banned in some cinemas. So this was in the 70s. And moving forward to today, we have a new movie that has come out that depicts a character from the life of Muhammad. And lots of Muslims are now protesting to get the movie removed because, of course, in Islam, you are not allowed to show representations of the Prophet or anybody else to do with Islam. Only it doesn't look as if they've actually done this in this movie. It looks as if they've tried to get around that. But it does seem as if the movie itself has upset Muslims in some way. Hundreds of demonstrators turned out in Bradford, Bolton, Birmingham and Sheffield to protest venues showing The Lady of Heaven. The movie was released in the UK over the Jubilee weekend, but has been pulled by Cineworld from all its branches after staff faced crowds of protesters demanding that it was removed from circulation. So because the mob have demanded this, the movie has been removed and you do have to wonder whether it's been out of actual fear for the physical safety of the people that are at the cinemas, because we have had instances of people being murdered for showing depictions of the Prophet. Of course, there was Samuel Paty in France, the French teacher, who was trying to teach his class about the importance of freedom of speech and was showing the Charlie Hebdo cartoons that showed Muhammad, and as a response to that, one of the children in the class told their parents that they had been shown this image, even though he'd actually asked Muslims to leave the classroom before he showed the image. And as a result of that, I believe it was a Chechen extremist beheaded Samuel Paty. So we do have instances of there being murders and beheadings as a response to images of Muhammad being shown. And what we have here is other images from the life of Muhammad that are being shown in this movie. So it really has upset a lot of people. The movie's executive producer, Malik Shlibak, called the decision to pull it unacceptable and accused the chain of bowing down to radical extremists. But surely they don't want to risk the chance of there being another horrific injury like has happened in France, and there could feasibly be something similar that happens with this. I mean, I would suggest that it is deliberately provocative to make a movie depicting scenes from Muhammad's life when you know how offensive that is going to be to Muslims. I guess this is just, again, this is just one of the problems that you face with a multicultural society, isn't it? You are not going to be able to please all the groups all of the time, and you're going to have some groups that find things that other groups do as unacceptable. I mean, clearly it's acceptable to depict things from happening from the life of Christ, and Christians are not upset at that. But if you depict events from the life of Muhammad, then Muslims are going to be upset at this. And we're supposed to have this tolerant society in Britain, or we always used to have a very tolerant society. But nowadays we're told that if you're offended by something, then it should be banned, as if you have a right not to be offended. And that's what these Muslims are saying. They are saying that they have the right not to be offended, and they find this movie offensive. Therefore, the movie needs to be banned. Cineworld confirmed that it had pulled the film to ensure the safety of staff and customers after outcry from protesters who picketed movie theatres and branded it blasphemous. View, meanwhile, is still listed as showing the film in a number of its London branches tonight, so it's mainly Cineworld that have pulled this. Made in Britain for £12 million, the film opens with the invasion of Iraq by ISIS and features a graphic jihadist murder before telling the story of Lady Fatima, one of the daughters of the founder of Islam. And I'm not quite sure how important a role she plays in the birth of Islam, but the fact is it's a daughter of Muhammad, and Muslims are not going to want to see that depicted in any way whatsoever. Islamic tradition forbids the direct portrayal of religious figures, with previous depictions of prophets leading to protests and even murders amidst accusations of blasphemy. Director Ellie King depicts Fatima as a faceless character, shrouded by a black veil to avoid doing this. And clearly, that's not good enough. And the name Ellie King, it doesn't sound like an Islamic name to me. It sounds like the director may well be Jewish. It's certainly provocative to be doing something like this. But of course, it's just going to offend the Muslims. I mean, what is the point in putting out a movie like this? And it could well be that it's just the way that Islam is portrayed in the film that is upsetting them, and perhaps not the fact that it features this character being represented there. I mean, he has clearly tried to get around that by just having this black veil there all the time. But the fact is that they are still depicting a character. Even if they don't show her face, they are still showing that depiction. And the portrayal of religious figures is banned in Islam. I mean, if a Muslim was to go into a church, they would see portrayals of religious figures from the Quran, because the Quran talks about people from the Old Testament, and you often find images of people from the Old Testament within churches. So if a Muslim was to go into a church, he would be offended there as well. Does that mean that churches should no longer be depicting Christian images of Old Testament prophets? Of course it doesn't. It means that Muslims should understand that if they go in a church, that is what they're going to see. But should it mean that we are not allowed to show depictions of Old Testament prophets outside the church? Often you get statues and images. All of these things are offensive to Muslims. And with our free speech laws in the way that they are, and with this idea of non-crime related hate incidents, if anybody is offended by something and they are offended on the basis of race or religion, then they can report that as a hate crime. So surely Muslims could just report churches themselves as being hate incidents because of the images that they have within them. These are the inconsistencies that we have with our laws. And I think this is really going to could create quite a ruckus, putting this film out there. Protesters have accused the filmmakers of inaccurately depicting religious history and negatively portraying three of Islam's most important figures. So they're also complaining about the way that this is portrayed. But of course, it's Hollywood, it's fiction. And if they're not allowed to show images of these characters, then clearly they're not allowed to make films concerning them in Islamic countries. So they're not going to understand that this is fiction. This is a movie. This isn't supposed to be real life. I mean, it just really highlights the differences that there are between Western culture and Islamic culture. A video from the weekend appears to show a manager at one cinema addressing a crowd, confirming that the film has been pulled, prompting cries of Allahu Akbar, the extremist shout that they make. Critics have expressed anger that the negative characters were portrayed by black actors rather than by white, which they say stems from the racial bias against darker-skinned people. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is a part of the Quran which suggests that when Muslims go to heaven, that they will be turned white. And I know throughout history there has been Islamic discrimination against blacks, particularly when they took black African slaves and castrated them, which is surprising, really, because there are a lot of black people that are now Muslims. There are countries in Africa that have sizable Muslim populations. So I'm surprised that this was done, that the negative characters were portrayed by black actors. And they're complaining that that was done rather than white. But in most cases, you'll find that the negative character is played by an Englishman or played by a German. And yet we don't very often see white people protesting because the bad guy in the film is a white character. How often do you see the bad guys in the film are actually portrayed by black actors? Very rarely nowadays. So I'm surprised at this. Perhaps they were just trying to be realistic. Perhaps at the time, the people that were in the negative roles at that time were actually black Africans. Those who came out to protest the screenings on Monday said they were offended by the film and the way that it illustrated the life of revered religious figures. One protester in Bradford, West Yorkshire said, "We are very offended and we have a right not to be insulted." See, this is the inconsistency with our laws here. We have told these different minority groups that they have a right not to be offended. And of course, you can only take offence. And we always used to be taught that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We were always taught to be tolerant of everyone and not to take offence at things. And if you didn't take offence at things, then life would be so much easier. But what we now tell people is that they have a right not to be offended and a right to demand that the person who has a different opinion to you should be silenced. So, of course, we have these Islamic protesters that are now saying this should be banned simply because we are offended by it. Of course, if you're a Christian and you're offended by abortion or you are offended by homosexuality, there's no chance that you are going to be shielded from that. You're going to have that promoted around you all the time. And if you speak up about it and say you're offended by it, you're going to get accused of being homophobic and a hater. The protester continued, "You talk about freedom of speech, but where does your freedom of speech go when it goes to criticizing your policies? When it goes to making critical analysis of your version of history? You have no right to tell us our history. We will not let this film go on any further." And he makes a good point there, because what we do here at Radio Albion is we criticize government policy and we get accused of hate speech for doing so. But what he's saying here is that this movie is not optimistic. It's not flattering about Islamic history. And he believes his analysis is correct. And yet, if he makes a critical analysis of this, he thinks that he's going to get banned. So he's making a good point here, actually, that when it goes to criticizing your policies or criticizing analysis of your version of history, we don't have any freedom of speech, which is pretty much the same thing that I would say as a nationalist. So I'm surprised that it's a Muslim that's actually saying this. And of course, he says you have no right to tell us our history. Well, what about Black Lives Matter that are now telling the indigenous British what British history is and are trying to change history? PA Wales have recently had a campaign, "Leave Our History Alone." We are continually being told that history has to be retold from a minority's viewpoint instead of being told from the British viewpoint, when we didn't even have those minorities in our country back then when this history went on. So again, this is the problems that we have with multiculturalism. White people get upset because our history is being changed, and now we have Muslims that are getting upset because Islamic history is being changed in this movie that has been made in Britain. Others carried signs saying it is not okay to offend 1.8 billion, hashtag hands off our superheroes, and stop the screening, while using megaphones to get across their message. And it does seem to me as if we have changed saints and religious heroes for modern day comic book heroes, which have been handed to us by the corporate modern world, instead of honouring archetypal heroes from our past. So I think that's probably quite a good hashtag there, hands off our superheroes. In Bolton, the local chairman of the Council of Mosques, Asif Patel, wrote a letter to his local branch of Cineworld, where he called the film blasphemous. So this isn't just the Islamic extremists that are protesting this. We've got the so-called moderate Muslims that are protesting this as well. The local chairman said, "You may well be aware of the recently released film Lady of Heaven, which has caused much distress to Muslims across the globe. It is underpinned with a sectarian ideology and is blasphemous in nature to the Muslim community. It grossly disrespects the Prophet Muhammad in many ways and is deeply disturbing to every Muslim. It also misrepresents orthodox historical narratives and disrespects the most esteemed individuals of Islamic history." And again, this is interesting to see that they are actually doing this to Muslims, because they do this to white people all the time. They will replace important people from British history, for instance, with black Africans, and tell us that that's perfectly fine to change the orthodox historical narrative in that way. And now they're actually doing it to Muslims, and Muslims are, well, you could say that they are rightfully upset about this. They don't want to see their heroes besmirched in such a way. But at the same time, this is sort of what we've got used to in the West. We are used to having Christianity mocked. We're used to having our heroes made out to be bad people that were involved in the slave trade. And now the Muslims are having to put up with it too. And it's basically everybody has to put up with these negative side effects of multiculturalism. And it was just white people, but now more and more these other groups are starting to feel the effects of it too. The storyline begs the question to what extent the producers had considered the huge impact of this film upon the Muslim community and the notions of sacredness dearly held by them. I should imagine the producers did anticipate the impact this film would have, because it's apparently not a very good film, not very well made, but the very fact that it's going to cause such upset amongst the Islamic community is going to encourage people to go and see it, to want to see what the fuss is all about. In Bolton, we are a very diverse community and are very respectful of each other's culture and honour on community cohesion. So he's saying we are respectful of each other's culture, but it is part of Christian Western culture to be critical and to examine things. That is just part of liberal progressivism. And at the same time, we should be tolerant. But because we're now being told we don't have to be tolerant anymore, and if anybody has an opinion that's not politically correct, then we can silence them. Now these Muslims are starting to feel that if they are offended, they could get things banned, and they have the right not to ever hear anything that differs from their opinion. A spokesperson from the Muslim Council of Britain called for respectful dialogue between protesters and the film supporters. They said, "The MCB, which proudly represents affiliates from across the different schools of thought in our faith, supports those scholars and leaders who are advocating for greater unity and for the common good, as commanded by our Holy Prophet. The MCB has always advocated for respectful dialogue of intra-faith relations. There are some, including many of this film's supporters, or those engaging in sectarianism in their response, whose primary goal is to fuel hatred. We must not let them succeed." So he is accusing that the people that are supporting this film are Islamophobic. That's why he's pointing out their primary goal is to fuel hatred. They must be really upset in some way at the way that these events are portrayed. It's similar to Salman Rushdie and his book, which supposedly had hidden verses from the Quran, which he was alleging came from Satan, I think, the satanic verses or something like that, it is called. And that really upset the Islamic world as well. So clearly the movie's producers must have known this was going to upset people, and they just thought the controversy would make people want to go and see the film, I think. Executive producer of the film, Mr. Schliebach, called the decision to pull the film by the cinema chain unacceptable. Well, what happens if somebody at the cinema gets beheaded then? you know, surely it is better to be safe than to be sorry. And as a nationalist, this really just highlights the fact that multiculturalism doesn't work. And if you have people with different cultures, they're going to be offended at different things. I think it's better that they do pull the film rather than run the risk of somebody being beheaded. The producer of the film said, "We think that the protests have brought a lot of newfound attention to the film that did not exist before from people who hadn't heard about the film, and we are okay with the fact that people protest. But I believe it is actually unacceptable in this country what they are calling for. That is the removal of this film from the cinemas due to them being offended." Well, yeah, that shouldn't be the reason for the removal of a film, but we have told these minorities that if they are offended, then they have a right to demand that whoever has come out with the offensive opinion is silenced and is legally prosecuted for hate speech. I mean, the Muslims are saying that this is the equivalent of hate speech. He says this is something quite silly because everyone has the ability to share their thoughts and enact their freedom of speech. I genuinely believe from all sides, from the cinema, perhaps from the Muslim Council of Britain, that there is this succumbing and bowing down to these radical extremists and their demands. Well, the fact is that these radical extremists can be violent. That's why people bow down to their demands. And he knew this was going to happen, and they knew that this would cause lots of publicity for the movie, and they clearly thought that more people would go and see it. He says, "I think this is more than The Lady of Heaven as an individual film. This is about our British values and how much these mean to us. These groups have now been given the power to dictate what the British public can and cannot watch at their local cinemas. Well, British values used to be all about tolerance, but nowadays British values are all about the victim culture, aren't they? They're all about virtue signalling and silencing people that have a different opinion to you." Claire Fox, who sits in the House of Lords as Baroness Fox of Buckley, tweeted that the decision to cancel the screening showed the creep of extra parliamentary blasphemy law was now censoring film. And that's interesting because that's only the second sitting politician that I can think of that has ever likened the free speech laws to blasphemy law, which is effectively what they're saying, because blasphemy is criticising Islam, basically, isn't it? Saying anything that Muslims find offensive, and yet if Muslims find things offensive and they then call it Islamophobia, people are being Islamophobic or inciting hate, then they can get things banned. So Islam becomes essentially uncriticisable. Of course, you can criticise Christianity as much as you like, but you can't criticise Islam because you'll be accused of Islamophobia. So it is extra parliamentary blasphemy law that we have brought in by preventing people from being critical of religion. She wrote, "Same, I find that offensive. Cancel culture arguments are now being used far beyond campus activism. This is disastrous for the arts, dangerous for free speech, and a lesson to those who argue identity politics are no threat to democracy." Well, it's not so much the identity politics, it's multiculturalism that I would say is a threat to democracy, because democracy is continually going to be pulling itself apart in different directions if you have people, multiple different identities that are trying to all live together within the one democracy. For democracy to work, you have to have people of all one ethnicity, so that whichever direction it goes in is going to be of benefit to that one people group. Otherwise, you get situations like this where you get the Muslims that want to ban representations of people from Islam, and then you get the whites who wish to see these representations and learn about this and spark a debate. You have two opposing sides there within the one democracy. I dare say in Pakistan the movie will be banned and all the Muslims will be happy. If Britain was monocultural and just had the one ethnic group within it, Christian ethnic group, then they could show this and Christians wouldn't be offended and Muslims wouldn't be offended, because there wouldn't be any Muslims in Britain to be offended. And people might say, well, that's offensive, talking about people from minority groups no longer being in the country. Well, you could have it even if you did have the minority groups in the country, if they were in separate areas. You could say, well, in Bolton, which is a Muslim area, the movie wouldn't be shown. But then in the north of Scotland, which is still a white area, a Christian area, the movie could be shown without offending anyone because there would be no Muslims there. That's the solution to all of this. People don't want to be deliberately offensive to other people. But if the people there that are likely to take offence are not there, then nobody can take offence, can they? Well, I mentioned that we've got some good news here as well. The state of Louisiana has now officially banned biological males from competing in women's sports. The Fairness in Women's Sports Act, passed by the Republicans-led state legislature, became law after Democrat Governor John Bel Edwards agreed to neither approve nor veto the bill. Whether it is intended or not, the effect is to send a strong message to at least some of these young people that they shouldn't be who they think they are, who they believe they are, who they know they are, Edwards said on Monday. I find that very distressing. I do believe that we can do better than that. So all he is concerned about is the minority, the tiny minority that are presenting themselves as being the opposite gender. He's got no concern here about these poor girls that are being forced to compete against biological men. The law claimed that men have inherent physical advantages over women in sports, such as strength, speed, and endurance. It also argues that the much-ballyhooed hormone therapy does little to nothing to curtail the physical advantages that men enjoy. That is the common-sense approach to this. But of course, the LGBTQ advocates naturally denounce the law as being transphobic. SB 44 is a direct attack on transgender youth that are trying their best to just be kids and fit in with and play alongside their peers, said the Human Rights Campaign. Trans kids, like all kids across the country, have said themselves that they play sports for the same reason all kids do, to be part of a team, to learn discipline, and above all, to have fun with their friends, it continued. But this is very upsetting for all these girls that have to compete against boys. Surely when they are children before puberty, then they're all pretty much the same, girls and boys. But once they actually get to adulthood, then it's clearly if you're an adult biological male, you're going to have an advantage over the females. And what this law is talking about, it's not talking about kids, is it? It's talking about sports. It's talking about mainstream professional sports. A majority of Americans overwhelmingly oppose transgender surgery for kids and puberty blockers for minors, a recent poll showed. Conducted by On Message Inc. for the American Principles Project, the poll probed six Senate battleground states, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and New Hampshire, and discovered that transgender radicalism is anything but a winning issue for Democrats. Asking respondents whether they supported or were against children being pushed into a sex change, around 63% of respondents agreed that children were too young for the decision, while around 22% of respondents believed that opposition to gender transitioning was transphobic. So there's overwhelming support for not allowing children to transition here. Recently, transgender golfer Mian Bagger, a man living as a woman who made history by competing in the Women's Australian Open after transitioning in 1995, recently said that it's utter rubbish that male-bodied transgender athletes are being allowed to compete alongside women in professional sports. They said male-bodied people presenting as women who live as women with varying degrees of medical intervention and in some degrees, no medical intervention, which is just, it's crossed the line, in my view. It really has. It's a slap in the face to women. And of course, a lot of these transgenders that are claiming to be women still even have the male genitals, and they may have only just started hormone therapy. So, of course, they've got an advantage over women. So it's good to see that Louisiana are banning transgenders from taking part in women's sports. And we also have some good news from Britain, from Sajid Javid, who I believe said something sensible the other day as well. Sajid Javid seems to be coming out as rather anti-progressive recently. Staff at NHS Trusts have been told to cut diversity and inclusion jobs, as a landmark report by the Health Secretary outlines plans for the largest shake-up of managements in a generation. Sajid Javid demanded urgent action to improve the quality of leadership within the health service as part of a fight against waste and wokery, to curb NHS spending. And the diversity and inclusion officer in the NHS is given a fortune. You know, they earn more money than politicians do. It's ridiculous. And what do? Well, they're just there to replace as many white people as they can, I guess, and to try to increase diversity, which is basically what that means, replacing white males. Yesterday morning, the health secretary addressed the cabinet, claiming the country had been left with a blockbuster healthcare system in the age of Netflix. Operations within the NHS have come under fire following the release of a damning report, which warns of institutional inadequacy if alterations to performance are not implemented. And that's because they're concentrating all their resources on promoting diversity instead of putting all their resources towards keeping people healthy. Mr. Javid has accepted the recommendations, saying, "In my view, there are already too many working in roles focused solely on diversity and inclusion, and at a time when our constituents are facing real pressures around the cost of living, we must spend every penny on patients' priorities. As this report sets out, it should be the responsibility of everyone to encourage fairness and equality of opportunity, which is why we must reduce the number of these roles." And everybody did always used to think that we had a system that was based on merit. It's only because of this promotion of diversity that we even have these diversity quotas, which mean that people don't have fairness and equality of opportunity, and they're only being given the position because of what race they are or who they sleep with. And that's what a diversity and inclusion officer is to encourage that sort of thinking rather than encouraging a meritocracy. Downing Street confirmed Mr. Javid addressed a cabinet meeting on Tuesday, saying that it was no longer an option to stick to the status quo, and the government had set the NHS a target of dramatically improving productivity. The review by Sir Gordon and Dame Linda Pollard, the chairman of Leeds Teaching Hospitals Trust, was produced in the wake of meetings with more than 1,000 frontline staff, managers and leaders across health and social care. So it's basically the staff and the managers that have been saying, well, you're spending too much money on diversity and inclusion and promoting all this sort of stuff when those funds should be going towards top-notch healthcare. It's a bit like the civil service where they're spending, I think it was 1/5 of their time getting involved with these minority advocacy groups and saying that everybody has to understand that there are 100 different genders and wasting all this time on that instead of actually doing the job that they're paid to do. The health secretary responded to the findings from the report, adding, "The findings in this report are stark. It shows examples of great leadership, but also where we need to urgently improve. We must only accept the highest standards in health and care. Culture and leadership can be the difference between life and death. I fully support these recommendations for the biggest shake-up of leadership in decades." Well, if you want the highest standards in health and care, then you cannot have diversity quotas, can you? Because that means that somebody is being hired because of their diversity points rather than being hired because they come up to the highest standard in health and care. We need to go back to a meritocracy. And then when you have diverse people that have a high position, then you know that they're in that position because they meet the standards, because they have come up to the standards. At the moment, when you see diverse people in these high up positions, people end up thinking, well, they're only there because of a diversity quota. I mean, would you really want to be given a job just because of what race you are or who you slept with? Surely people would be much happier to know that they were given a job because they were very, very good at it and because they had the qualifications and they merited being given that position. I mean, what about your self-image here and your sense of contributing to society and being the best at what you do? You don't want to be put into a position where you're not actually capable of doing the job and you know that you're only there just because you fill the diversity quota, surely. Anyway, good news that Sajid Javid is drawing attention to the waste of money that is given out to these diversity and inclusion officers, and good news that Louisiana has banned transgenders from taking part in women's sports. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.